We welcome you to Grace Bible Church this morning. We're so glad that you are here. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll begin reading at verse 22. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. This is a reminder in this passage of Scripture of how we are to treat each other in the body of Christ. As it says there are some that feel that others are feeble. Some members of the body are feeble, and yet others they think less honorable. Now these are individuals who may be gifted that God has given to the church. And they look around and say, well, that person over there is not as gifted as I am. What does the Bible say? How are we supposed to act that way? Well, first of all, pride should not enter into it. First of all, who gave you those gifts? You didn't come up with them on your own. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit indwelt your heart, and you were given the gifts necessary to minister in the church, to minister as a Christian. So those are outside of yourself. We're going to learn more about that in the worship service today as we consider God's calling of the disciples. But those of us that may not have as many gifts as other people, God says that you are necessary. I think back many, many years I've dealt with people, and some people say, I just don't think I can do that. I don't think I have the ability to do that or whatever. So why don't you try? And maybe you have that ability, maybe you don't, but we'll never know until you try. You see, folks, we don't know this side of heaven all of the gifts that God has given to His children. I don't pretend to know all of your gifts, and you probably have an idea of the ones that I have and don't have, but we don't know. Only God knows the gifts that He's given to us, and our responsibility is to find out those gifts and abuse. But be careful, lest your heart gets lifted up with pride and say, well, I have much more gifts than other people have. Let me tell you something. They're all necessary. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble. Here's your reminder. They are necessary. And then beyond that, and those members of the body which we think, all right, this is us thinking here. We think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. Watch out for pride. Watch out for pride. What are we to do? We are to consider ourselves under the matchless grace of God. And anything we may have is His gift to us. And I'm not to lift myself up in pride. And I'm to encourage other believers in Christ to discover and find out those gifts that God has given to them. And maybe they're less gifted, but they're still necessary. God has a purpose for them. We should give them more abundant honor, the Bible says. Why is there so much tension in churches today, it seems like? There's so much tension between people and so on. Because of pride and arrogance. There needs to be a humbling of ourselves before God, knowing that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. It doesn't well up within us. It was already there. We just had to fan the flames a little bit and spark forth, and I am so wonderful and good. No, absolutely not. In the church, God has given the gift of people with gifts to minister and to help. And I am so thankful this morning for the gifts that God has given this church through individuals. What a blessing it is to be around God's people and to see the gifts and what people can do that you can't do. The things that they are able to minister with and the helps and administration, things you can't do. Do we sit around and moan and say, oh Lord, I wish You would have given me those gifts? No. You take the gifts that God has given to you and you be thankful for them and use them with every ounce of your being through His power for His glory and for His honor. Do I hear an amen? No pride. Humble spirits. Humble spirits in God's work and in this house, the local church. May God help us to have that kind of spirit.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 7 as we begin our singing this morning. Hymn number 7, Blessed Be the Name, number 7. We'll stand together and we'll sing. Comes to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be here this morning to study your word and to fellowship with other believers in Christ. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. It is a joy and a pleasure to be here and not out in the world, Father, in the middle of all that's going on. It's so peaceful and calm to our spirits here, Father. We thank you for that. You provide that peace and calmness to us. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and grace that you show us. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given us. Most of all, we thank you for Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, he died for our sins. That was mercy, Father. You showed us mercy there when he died for us, that we didn't have to pay for our sins, Father. And you show us grace. You've given us grace. You've given us salvation through grace. And grace that we didn't deserve. Salvation that we didn't deserve. We thank you so much, Father, for that. You can give us calm and peace throughout whatever is going on throughout this world. Father, we thank you for all the peace and calm that we have. Father, we ask that you be with our people of this country. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins. For it's great, they've gone far from you. And Father, we pray that you'll work in their hearts. Draw them back to thee, Father. Work in their lives, Father. Show them that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we ask that you be with our military that's in the different countries, Father. We ask that you be with each one of them, especially those who put their trust and faith in you. We pray that you'll give them strength, and encourage them, give them comfort, and Father, we pray that they'll share your word with others in their different units, wherever they're at, whatever country they're in. We pray for their safety, and Father, the countries that they're fighting in, we pray that you'll give them victory and bring them home quickly. And Lord, we pray for our government leaders. Father, they have gone far away. They have led the people of this country far away from you. And Father, we ask that you work with them, work in their lives, work in their hearts. Turn them back to thee, Father. Turn them back to thee and give them a desire to serve you and to do what's right for this country. And Father, we pray now that you will be with each one of us, Lord, this day. Pray that you'll watch over us, give us safety after the service today and bring us back safe. And Father, those that will be traveling this coming week and today, Lord, we just pray that you'll give them traveling mercies and watch over them. Those that can't be here this morning because of illness, pray that your healing hand would be with them. And Father, we ask now your blessings upon the services, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Be seated and turn now to number 18. Number 18, What Wondrous Love Is This? We'll sing on verses 1, 2, and 3. First three verses, hymn number 18. Turn out hymn number 13. Hymn number 13. Brethren, we have met to worship number 13.
Praise the Lord. far dearer than all that the world can impart was the message that came to my heart. How that Jesus alone for my sin did atone, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. The stripes that he bore and the thorns that he wore told his mercy and love evermore. And my heart bowed in shame as I called on his name, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. How matchless the grace when I looked in the face of this Jesus, my crucified Lord. My redemption complete I then found at his feet, and Calvary covers it all. How blessed the thought that my soul by him bought shall be his in the glory on high, where with gladness and song I'll be one of the throng, and Calvary covers it all. Calvary covers it all. My past with its sin and stain, my guilt and despair, Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all.
Take your Bibles, please, and meet me in Matthew chapter 10. We're in Matthew chapter 10. You didn't think we were going to finish chapter 10. I know we were in there for a long period of time. And I hope and pray that in chapters 8 and 9 we learned of the authority that God had given to His Son, Jesus, to carry out His earthly ministry. Jesus Christ was 100% man. He was 100% human. But He was also 100% God. He set aside the prerogatives of His deity and worked completely and totally on this earth in the power of the Holy Spirit. He set aside the prerogatives of the things that He did in heaven, the power that He manifested on His own, His creative power. He set aside the prerogatives of that. He didn't set aside His deity. He set aside the prerogatives of His deity. And He submitted Himself totally to the work of the Holy Spirit of God as an example for you and for me. My responsibility is to submit to the Holy Spirit of God who lives in my heart because God has saved me by His grace, and I'm to live the Christian life in His power, not in my power. I think we've forgotten that these days. We have this idea, okay, I'm a Christian, I can do whatever I want to now. No, you can't. You can do whatever God pleases. That's what He wants. He wants you to do whatever pleases His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to do whatever you do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that means that the Holy Spirit's not going to empower you to do wrong. He's not going to empower you to follow after your selfish desires and your purposes. I read not too long ago, you know, Facebook is a great revealer of character. It's a revealer of so many things. It's a revealer of how people think today. But someone had posted on there about how wonderful it was that entered into retirement. Nobody can tell me what to do anymore. I can do whatever I want. I can sleep in if I want to. I don't have to go to church if I don't want to. I don't have to. They went down this whole list of the things they didn't have to do. And all I could think was, is this a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? This was supposedly a Christian that was talking. And it sounded more like the world than it did the Christian. Listen. Whenever we grow in the Lord, we realize that we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And as you grow as a Christian, you realize, I'm to do whatever God wants me to do. I don't set the agenda for my life and say, okay, God, you bless this. If you don't bless it, I'm going to do it anyway. What kind of a foolish notion is that? That's not Christian. That's the world. That's how the world thinks. I set my agenda. I do what I want to do. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, let me tell you something. You don't know anything about Jesus Christ. You don't know what it means to be transformed and changed. We're going to learn today that God chose 12 disciples and they weren't looking to be chosen. Can I say that again? They weren't sitting out there casting their nets out and things that, I sure wish Jesus would choose me. They weren't even thinking about that. It's a very different mindset that I'm going to share with you from the Bible today. That when God chooses you, He has a purpose for you and you better get at it. All right? Why? Because you love Him. You love Him. Why? Because He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. And I'm happy to be chosen by Jesus Christ. That's the difference. A person that's not happy having been chosen, quote unquote, better be checking to see whether they were chosen or not. Whether they were called to do a work for God. There are some people that are just miserable. They're miserable at church. They're miserable at home. They're miserable at work. There's got to be something better than this. Really? How about the Lord Jesus Christ? Whenever He gets a hold of your heart and He transformed your heart, you're happy doing whatever He wants you to do. And if He says, lay down your nets and follow me, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do that. Why? Because He called me. He said, come with Him. Every one of these individuals, all 12 of them, stopped what they were doing and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them were farmers, some of them were fishermen, some of them were tax collectors. And they left all and followed the Lord Jesus. Why? Because He said so, first of all. And they grew to love Him. In His love that was manifested to them and caught, they grew to love Him. And most of them died for Him. How do they move from being just a fisherman out on the shore to dying for the Lord Jesus Christ? Something happened. Something happened in their heart. They were transformed. And then they were willing to do whatever God wanted them to do. There may be some here that say, that's never happened to me. That transformation has never happened with me. I'm just as miserable as I can be. And sometimes I can look out and I can see the misery. Now, maybe it's just because my voice grates on you. I don't know. It may be other things. But I can tell you some things. If you're having problems with God, you've got big problems. Okay? It's not that your iPhone stopped working. It's not that your power bill was higher than it was supposed to be last month. It wasn't because you went out to your car this morning and it wouldn't start. There's bigger problems than that. You've got a big problem with God. And He's calling you this morning. He's calling you. He said, won't you come? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, You're weighed down with the misery of this world, and I will give you rest. If you cannot answer that call, then your life is worthless. Your life is going to end up in a devil's hell, and it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. You need to respond to His call. These 12 men responded to Jesus' call. They weren't looking to be called. They got up that morning. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, by the way, the first three fishermen, James, John, and Peter were chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't go down there to the University of Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to get the smartest kids that are in school here. I'm going to call them. No, he went to the Sea of Galilee, and he called those three fishermen, and they became part of his inner circle. Just humble people that cast nets off of their ship to catch fish. And God chose them. Boy, there's some great lessons here. We're going to try to unfold them. We're going to look at each one of these disciples over the next few weeks. We're going to look at them. And we're going to find out something. God didn't see a spark of divinity in them. All He saw was an individual. If they would follow Him, if they would follow Him, He could make them into fishers of men. He could make them into a vessel fit for His service. Jesus could do that. That's right. Jesus can take you, and He can take me, and He can make us into whatever He wants us to be if we're willing to what? Leave our nets and follow Him. That's the key, folks. Let me ask you, who are you following this morning? Are you following your tail? I told you a few weeks ago about my grandmother's dog that didn't have a tail, but she chased it anyway. Tiny. Little white dog. I don't even know what kind it was. But it would get out there in the yard and you'd see her, and she'd get that eye. You'd know what was coming. She'd cock her head. She'd flip it back like that. And you'd see her. And the next thing you know, just chasing her tail. No, she wasn't accomplishing a thing. Her tail was this long. Okay? And she couldn't even see it. But something was moving back there, and she was going to find out what it was. That little stub. She'd be looking. Some of you are chasing your tail this morning. Something's moving back there. I'm going to find out what it is. And so it's your pleasure to run, chasing your tail. And you're getting nowhere because you're not following Jesus. Some of you will look back. Maybe you'll hear this message 10, 15 years down the road again. And you'll look back and you say, that's exactly what I've done with my life. I run into people all the time. I've met a lot of people over the years, working with the ball program, working with soccer program, working with all kinds of things, the school. And I see the disasters all the time. I see them. You meet them on the street. You'll see them pass along life's road, and their life is a complete and total disaster. Why? Because they would not follow Jesus Christ. And so they're chasing their tail. They're just running in circles. Busy, 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 doing their life's thing, making all those big mistakes, bad mistakes, because they're not seeking God's will in anything. They're just doing their own agenda. And their life is a wreck, and then they say, you know, I wish I'd have chose things a little bit differently. Yes! God's calling. God's calling this morning. Will you follow me? Will you follow me? That's what He's saying. These 12 chose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this follows what we shared with you in chapter 9 here about the need for laborers. Oh, there's always a need for laborers. We've been praying since last fall that God would give us the teachers that we needed for this fall. We've made it a regular prayer request. Said, Lord, please, we're going to have some teacher needs. We've got to be able to cover this, that, and the Lord, would You just provide, you know? Why? We want God to provide those. We want the Lord to step in and show us the ones that He wants us to have. We're depending on Him. Are you depending on Him? There's a lot of rumbling going on Wall Street right now. What's going to happen with Greece? What's going to happen with these other nations? Let me ask you something. What's going to happen with America? $20 trillion in debt? It's coming. What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Listen, how about trusting the Lord? How about following Him? You see, if you follow Jesus today, and you follow Jesus tomorrow, and you follow Jesus on Tuesday, and you follow Jesus on Wednesday, you'll be exactly where you ought to be in 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Why? Because you're following the Lord Jesus today. You see, the will of God is not some kind of dark mystery that has to be divined. It's just doing right today. Following the Lord Jesus Christ today. We're not going to take any steps away from following the Lord Jesus. We're not going to follow the world. We're not going to follow this person, that person. We're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever He leads, we'll go with Him. And you will find in following Jesus that He'll take care of all your bills. He'll take care of your food. He'll take care of your housing. He'll take care of your car. That's what the Lord Jesus does for those who follow Him. Because you see, these 12 individuals had to trust Jesus for all of those things. Did you know that? Well, where are we going to stay, Jesus? I'll take care of that. Well, what are we going to eat, Lord? Well, I'll take care of that. Well, where are we going to go? I'll take care of that. Well, I'm leaving behind my livelihood. I'll take care of it if you'll just follow me. Oh, it's so simple. But as we learned in Sunday school, it takes faith. Faith. I want us to look at verse 1 today. At the summoning of these individuals, there's four things, four essentials that I want you to see about the calling of these 12 disciples in verse 1. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 disciples, these 12 individuals that had been fishermen, had been tax collectors, had been farmers, had done all these things. They didn't have power before to do any of the things mentioned in verse 1, did they? They didn't have power to heal sickness. They didn't have power to deal with casting out demons or whatever. Now, we don't have that power today either. That's not our responsibility. God's chosen us to follow Him in a different way than He chose to, for the disciples. He had a particular mission for Israel, as we're going to see in this chapter. God had a special mission for Israel. They dealt with signs and wonders. That was the way God had dealt with them all throughout their history. But that's not the case with the church. The church, we live by faith. We live by the Word of God. God hasn't empowered me to cast out anything. God hasn't given me power to heal anybody. God takes care of that. I'm just to follow Him. But for these 12 disciples, God had a mission for them. And I want you to see in that first phrase, several things that I want to bring to your attention. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, who did the calling? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus did the calling. First of all, they were chosen providentially. They were chosen by a sovereign act of God to be His disciples. Now I want you just to stop and meditate on that for just a moment. They were chosen providentially for service. Service for whom? Service for God. Their background didn't matter. Alright? He didn't say, you know, well, I've got this list of occupations that you have to come from because you're going to need all these different things from your occupation. Now, God can use life experiences. Amen? He certainly can. But He didn't say, you know, I think I'm going to choose me some college professors, and I'm going to choose me some politicians. These people are good with people. I mean, they're just natural with people. You know, we've heard so many times over the years that God chose people that were frightened to death. Dr. George Peabody was here back in 2001. George Peabody told the story way back whenever I was in college of how he was called to preach. George Peabody was from Georgia. And he was an arts and crafts dealer. He went around the world, traveled the world looking for special things to bring on to America to put on the market. And God worked in his heart as a young man. His pastor asked him to preach one Sunday. He said, Pastor, I can't stand up in front of people. I stutter really badly. And he did at that time. He could not speak clearly. He stuttered. He said, I don't think God wants me to be in a preacher. But he said, I want you to preach Sunday night. George Peabody got up to preach. He opened his Bible and he passed out onto the ground. He was out cold behind the pulpit. Everybody rushed up to the pulpit, picked him up. They drug him off the stage, put him down there in a pew. The pastor went on with the message for that night. And George Payloy was out. And he said, Mr. Preacher, told his pastor, said, I'm done. He said, no, you're not. You do what God wants you to do. He might want you to be a preacher. He said, I can't. He said, no, but God can. He said, those words from an old preacher over near Dothan, Alabama, where he grew up, that old preacher said, you can't. That's right. None of us can. There's not one person, well, you don't know, I'm gifted. I've got lots of talents. Haven't you noticed? Yeah, we've heard you talk about them enough. But that's not what God's interested in. You can't, but God can. He sovereignly chose these individuals. Now, if I was picking a list of 12 people that I was going to have to be followers of me, I would not have picked a one of those. Isn't that interesting? Would you have picked them? Would you say, you know, I think I'll go down there to Blackwater River. And I'm going to catch those people coming in that's bringing their boats in with all their fish. And I'm going to pick me three fishermen right off the bat. No. In our thinking, we would have picked smart people. Why? Because we like smart people. Right? We want smart people. We don't want a bunch of dummies. At least I don't. If I was picking, I would not have picked these. But I'm not God, am I? I'm not. I can't empower anybody to live the Christian life. I can't empower anybody to be a teacher in a Christian school classroom. I can't empower anybody to be a custodian. I can't empower anybody to be a pilot in the military. I don't have that power. But who does? The Lord Jesus does. You can't, but God can. You know what happened to George Peabody? God started working in his heart. He said, Lord, I've got a stammering problem. So he found him a speech teacher, started working with him, helping him be able to say his words better. And God began to work in his heart. He went off to Bible college, got some training in Bible, and became an evangelist. And God used him in a remarkable way to preach God's Word. Yeah, he couldn't, but God did. What a testimony. He can do the same for you. I just don't think I can do that. I'm so limited, aren't we all? Stop giving excuses. Stop giving excuses. God, I want you to choose me. I'll be a volunteer for you. Now, these disciples didn't volunteer. God went and chose them. But what did they do when He chose them? They left what they were doing and they followed Him. That's what God's looking for today. When He calls, you get up and go. Oh, how we need that today. We've lost that mentality today. Well, I don't feel God's calling. I'm praying for somebody else to go. It's kind of like the old day when you could pay for somebody to go fight for you in the war. During the Civil War, they used to have where you could pay $300 and somebody else go in your place. And, you know, if you're wealthy and you didn't want to go fight, or maybe there was some other reason you couldn't go and you paid somebody else, a surrogate went out there and fought for someone. That's how some people think the Christian life is. I'm going to pray for somebody else to go do it. Somebody else go do it. I'll put money in the offering plate so somebody else can go and I don't have to worry about it. I wash my hands of the whole thing. You're not genuine. You're a hypocrite. How can you pray for somebody else to go when you're not willing to go and follow the Lord Jesus Christ yourself? These were chosen providentially. None of these disciples initiated the idea of following Jesus and becoming His disciples. It was entirely God's planning and God's doing. Mark tells us in Mark 3 and verse 13, He called unto Him who He would, and they came unto Him. Boy, that's strong language. Let me read it again. He called unto Him whom He would, and they came unto Him. That's the same reference dealing with the calling of the disciples. Parallel passage. They were chosen providentially. Number two, they were chosen after prayer. They were chosen after prayer. Luke chapter 6 tells us that the Lord prayed the whole night before He chose His first disciples. John chapter 17 and verse 6 says, I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Who's He talking about? He's talking about those that follow Him. He prayed. John 15, 19 and 30 in chapter 8 and verse 28 tells us that He prayed before the disciples were chosen. Isn't that interesting? He wanted to know what God the Father desired for servants to follow Him here upon this earth. The Lord Jesus, as a human, prayed to God the Father that He might choose the right individuals to be His disciples. And you say, well, He sure messed up with Judas Iscariot. That was part of God's plan. Amen? That was part of God's plan. That was all part of how this thing was going to come out in the end. He sovereignly chose them. But He prayed before. Oh, how prayer is so important. Whenever we're seeking and desiring servants to work in this ministry, we pray. We want to get the Father's understanding and knowledge. We want Him to send us the right ones that will come and be a part of this ministry. It's easy to just advertise, stick an ad in seven or eight papers and do it that way, or put your ads out here at some of these job searching places, but that's not how we want to do business. Why? Because Jesus prayed before He chose His 12. That's why. We want God's best. We want God to send us the one He wants us to have. They were chosen providentially, and they were chosen after prayer. Thirdly, they were chosen to be prepared for service. They were chosen to be prepared for service. Though they were called, they were far from prepared. Listen to Dr. A.B. Bruce in his book, The Training of the Twelve. This is what he wrote. At the time of their call, they were exceedingly ignorant, narrow-minded, superstitious, full of Jewish prejudices, misconceptions, and animosities. They had much to unlearn of what was bad, as well as much to learn of what was good. And they were slow both to learn and to unlearn. All right? This is a good description. The Bible tells us this. Old beliefs already in possession of their minds made the communication of new truth and ideas a very difficult task. They were poor men of humble birth, low station, mean occupations, who had never felt the stimulating influence of a liberal education or of social intercourse with persons of cultivated minds. These men were qualified not because of who they were, but who their teacher was. Let that hang on your heart for just a little while. They were not chosen because of who they were. They were chosen for who their teacher was. Everything may be hoped of men who could leave all for Christ. Let me say that again. That's an excellent statement. Everything may be hoped of men who could leave all for Christ. What's the first step in the right direction? Leave all for Christ. Leave all for Him. When He calls, leave all for Him. Follow Him. Well, that's not a very wise decision to make. Oh, yes, it is. It's the greatest and the best decision you can ever make. It's to leave all and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people haven't left all. They still got connections. They got connections to the past. They got strings attached. Something they can fall back on. It's like having a net under a high wire thing. You know, anybody can walk across the wire as long as you got a net underneath there, but it takes somebody that knows what they're doing to get up there and walk across it when there is no net. I want you to know something. Some people have got safety nets on their life. They think they're safety nets. They think they are. But I'm here to tell you something. If you're trusting in your safety nets that you've handcrafted yourself, you're in deep trouble this morning because they will fail. You know, aircraft have all kinds of redundant systems on it. I'm thankful for that whenever I go flying or whatever. I'm glad that they've got, you know, redundant things. But I want to tell you something. We hear about plane crashes all the time. And what is it normally? Pilot error. Pilot error. We heard about the tragic crash that took place basically because it was not pilot error, but air traffic control error. They didn't warn an airplane was in the area while an F-16 jet was flying doing a mission, and they collided and people died as a result. How sad. How sad. Why? Because we as humans, we don't have what it takes. We fail. We fail miserably, but Jesus has all that we need. Training was an essential part of their preparation. The disciples left their nets, their crops, their tax collecting booths, and their other businesses, and for 3 years walked with the Lord Jesus, watching, listening, observing, learning, and often, sadly, misunderstanding. They didn't understand. Whenever they came right up to the point of the crucifixion, they didn't have a clue what was going on. After he had been talking about it for the last 2 years of his ministry, I'm going to be offered up, and in 3 days, I will come back to life. Oh, he used all kinds of metaphors in that regard. But they weren't listening. They weren't learning like they ought to. Herbert Lockyer, in his book, All the Apostles of the Bible, wrote this. They had no occupation. They had given up their pursuits in which they were engaged, their fishing, their tax collecting, and their agriculture. The only thing they do is go with Jesus from place to place. That was their time of preparation. Much can be learned from a classroom, from good books, and from personal experience. But spiritual growth comes best from close contact with a holy example. And who is our holy example? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. A consistently pure life that is patient, loving, serious, and that has a peace of heart and mind and possesses biblical discernment is an unmatched tutor for godly living. Who do you choose to listen to? Who do you go to when you want to talk about something? Is it somebody that, you know, is kind of cool? They seem to have it together, so I'm going to go ask them. Let me ask you something. What kind of spiritual life do they live? You better look out somebody that's been down life's road, that's been walking with Jesus for years and years and years, and you ask them. You need some advice. Don't go out and ask somebody that's the same age you are and has the same likes that you do and wants to do the same thing. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. And that may be the worst advice you could ever get. You need to seek out a godly individual. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear a godly person talk to others and pray to God, to see him act and react and to understand his heartbeat for Christ is to be trained in the best of schools. A dear servant of God that teaches. Number four, they were chosen to be propelled into service. It wasn't just about training. You've heard of professional students? People that just go to school all their life? Been in school all their life? We have a relative, and he's a very good fellow. But he went to school all the way up to around age 50. He was always in school. He has more degrees than a thermometer. And he just school, professional student. Listen, God's not interested in you being a professional student all your life. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to, I'm all for training. I've been to school. I tried. And we've all had some schooling. But I'm going to tell you something. I have met some godly individuals in my life that never got out of the sixth grade. But they loved God, and they loved His Word, and they could dispense spiritual advice. Let me tell you something, it's not all about education. It's about walking and following Jesus Christ. He prepared them so that they might be propelled into service. He was going to leave and go away. Now what are they going to do? Well, hopefully, by God's grace, through the preparation that they were given and their dependence upon following Him, even though He wasn't physically in their presence, they would do His bidding and do His will. Not only were the 12 disciples chosen providentially, chosen with prayer, chosen to be prepared, but they were chosen to be propelled into service. The disciples, those who learn, were trained to become apostles, those who are sent. That's what the word apostle means. Those who are sent. They were disciples first. They followed Jesus, and then He called them to be apostles, those who are sent. They were prepared. They had the power from Jesus Christ. They were now able to go out and share the gospel. They were to have an impact in the lives of others. We are trained for a purpose. Every disciple of Jesus Christ is called to make other disciples, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. We are trained and then propelled into service. Now, what was their work? Verse 1b, notice please. And He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He supplied the power for them to minister specifically to the house of Israel. God had promised to Israel that He would come and that He would do these things. He had promised those things. Now He is preparing His apostles to go out and to teach and to train and to carry the gospel and to evangelize the Israelite people. Their authority came from God, not within themselves in the flesh. Exousia is the Greek word for authority, and it is from a verb that means that which is lawful, and therefore refers to a right or the free flow of power that is legitimately delegated. All right? I can't go out today in the white truck and start pulling people over for speeding. Okay? Go put on my Barney Fife outfit and my badge that I got from Oriental Trading. And I put that thing on there and I go out there in my truck, put my bullet in my pocket. I'm ready to go. And I go out there and I start chasing down people. Now, I did one time chase down some boys. We had just planted grass out here in our soccer field down around the corner back several years ago. And we had some boys that came on, and they were doing donuts out in that field, just ripping it, tearing it all up. And I could hear the motor revving, and two of my boys were with me, and I got in the truck, and I took off down there, and they started speeding away, and I chased them. I chased them off campus. I chased them down the road. They went over there on Sanders Street and then took off. I know that whole area. I knew where they were going. So I went out there. I went down a back road, came back the other way, and had my truck parked in the middle of the road. I came right up there to it. And I said, "I want you to know, boys, I got your tag number." As I was going behind you, my boys were writing down the tag number. I wanted to make sure. "I just want to let you know, I'm on my way to the police station to report your tag number and what you did up on the campus." And they did a little Jim Rockford thing where they put it in reverse and backed up, spun around, and took off the other way. I went to the police station, and I turned in the tag number, and they went and visited them that night when Mommy and Daddy were home. And I got a phone call the next day. "Mr. Brainerd, I knew the boys." That's how they knew where they could come up here and do their little shenanigans. "Mr. Brainerd, we're really sorry about that, and we got into really bad trouble. They took our car away from us." And I said, "Well, good." I said, "Now maybe you'll respect people's property. That property's not yours." And then for you to just ride around, I said, "We got children on this campus. You're driving like a bunch of crazy people on this campus. You'd have run over a child. It would have been the end of your life, as far as this world's concerned." Now, but I'm not duly deputized to do anything. I couldn't go over there and slap cuffs on them and throw them in the back of my truck and take them off to jail. I'm not authorized to do that. But one thing I am authorized to do, and that's to proclaim God's Word. And you're authorized to receive God's Word. Isn't that wonderful? You're authorized to receive it. Why? Because you've got two ears on the side of your head. God built you with two ears and one mouth. Now think about the ratio for just a moment and how it gets turned around. This is running all the time. This is shut down. Listen, God called these men and they heard the call. They didn't sit out there on the shore and debate about it. The Bible says that they left their nets and followed Him. What did Levi do? We already learned about that. We studied about that. What did Levi do? He left his tax collecting booth and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, this is so important. We're going to close with this. Jesus wants you, all of you here, to follow Him. To follow Him. That's all. Follow Him. Listen to Him as He speaks in His Word. Why are we so stubborn to fight every step of the way? "I don't want to go there, Jesus. Why are you going to make me? Oh, don't send my children to the mission field." Heard the story not too long ago about a woman who told God, "Don't call my children to the mission field." She had told others about that she didn't want them to go. And one of her sons walked forward in a church service. 18 years of age, walked up to the front, told the pastor, said, "My mama has always told us that she doesn't want us to be a missionary, but," he said, "I can't fight it any longer. The Lord saved me, and I want to do whatever He wants me to do. After church, she came up, and she began to jump on the pastor and said, "You went behind my back." And the pastor looked at her and just peered right down into her soul, said, "No, I didn't go behind your back. God did. God went behind your back, and He sovereignly chose this young man." That young man's been on the mission field for 22 years, serving God. The mother got her heart right with God, and she said, "Lord, if You want the rest of them, You can have them." Sometimes that's what it takes to shake us loose from this world that we love so much. Got to have more of it. Got to have more of what this world has to offer. I don't want to live this life and not have all the things that this world offers. And yet there are a precious few. Praise God for them. A precious few that said, "God, I don't care if I have anything of this world. I don't care. I just want to follow You." That individual that follows Christ all the way to the grave into heaven's glory will have the glories of heaven for all eternity. And those that fought every step of the way, if they make it to heaven, it will only be because of the merits by its fear and fire that they make it. They're not going to have much to cast at Jesus' feet because they wanted so much of this world. Jesus called and they followed. They left their nets. They left their tax table. They left their fields and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants you and you and you and you to follow Him today, tomorrow, the next day, all the way up till you take your last breath or the trumpet sounds and we're all snatched up to be with Him. He wants you to follow Him every step away. There is nothing more glorious and more alluring to the true child of God than following Jesus. You think about that. There is nothing more wonderful, more glorious, more exciting than to be walking behind our Lord Jesus Christ, following Him every step of the way. Don't take something less. You'll be disappointed. You may think that you're doing pretty good here in this world, but you'll be disappointed. One day when you stand before Him. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for the testimony of these men that were called, as we're going to see, by Thee, sovereignly chosen. They weren't looking to be chosen, but You chose them to follow You. Oh, we know that they were often foolish. They weren't listening very well. They misunderstood many of the statements that You gave. But in the end, Father, as they grew up in the knowledge of Thee and they learned to spread their wings of faith and take flight for Thee, they learned what it meant to pay the price. They learned what it meant to follow Thee day by day. Lord, deliver us from the allure of this world. Lord, it seems like we're so saturated today in the church with the world and what the world has to offer. And we want to do this and we want to market this and we want to do that. And we are so lost to the truth of following after Thee, the simplicity of just walking behind Thee. Lord, I pray that You would stir us up, that we might love Thee more and that we might live for Thee more in accordance with Thy precious Word. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We're going to close today with number 303, hymn number 303. Appreciate so much the message this morning, the Lord calling and how often we're tuned out of that call. We're listening to other things, allowing the noise of the world to drown out that voice of the Lord. This hymn, number 303, "The voice of the Lord is calling. Loud and long He's calling, rich reward He offers. Who will answer and say, 'Here am I, send me'?" Let's close as we sing the first verse. Let's stand together, number 303, verse number 1.
Hear the voice of Jesus calling, who will go and work today?
we thank you for the message we've heard today. Lord, we thank you for how you have chosen to use people. And Lord, yet often you choose to use those that we wouldn't think of and that we wouldn't choose. Lord, thank you for this example from Matthew chapter 10 of how you chose the disciples. Lord, these men who were just workers, fishermen, doing different tasks, and yet you called them because they would hear, they would follow, and they would be taught by you. And Father, I pray that we would not put up hindrances and roadblocks, barriers in our lives to the call. Lord, I pray that you'd be especially with our young people. Lord, help them to be sensitive, to hear, and to know what the Lord has for them. That they would desire to serve you, Lord, with their lives. And Father, I pray that you'd bless us now as we go our separate ways. Return us tonight, Lord, once again to hear your word. And thank you again for what we've heard this morning and for the privilege we've had to worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.